to Minority Corner, where we take an introspective look at the world through an intersectional lens. I'm James, he, him, his. I'm a queer, political, actor, activist, comedian, Cancerian, self-proclaimed, sexy blurred. That's a black nerd. And each week, I'm joined in the corner by another fabulous minority where we tackle the news, pop culture, politics, media, history, and more, all with a little self-care and self-love sprinkled throughout. This week on the Minority Corner Rewind, you know, I feel like I've been name-dropping this one almost every week, and let's stop talking about it, let's be about it. So coming back at ya like Cleopatra, I can't resist. I can't say that phrase and not say Cleopatra coming at ya. How can you? I'm only human. So we're going to revisit Aneke's corner on the history and the slaughtering of Mexican Americans at the hands of the Texas Rangers. And not Walker Texas Ranger, but, well, we have some choice words for him too. This story is jaw-dropping, and it's one of the ones that has just really stuck with me over the years of just putting things in perspective and why it's so important to understand history. Also, you see in the story of the Texas Rangers, you see the overuse of police force, police brutality, legalized murder. And you can't help but listen to the story, but also think about what's also going down in Portland. And the things that we are experiencing and seeing are in the roots and the fabric of what this country is. This is nothing new. But we're going to be the generation, because we're going to be so well equipped with knowledge and information, and we know what's right. We know it in our hearts, and we're going to turn this beat around. Right, Gloria Estefan? She's not here, but she's saying it too. So you can tuck this corner away in the shit they did not teach us in high school. And it parallels so many of the other stories we've been talking about recently about America's bloody past to just about everybody. Black folks, First Nations, Indigenous peoples, Latinx folks, you name it. So we gotta know our history. It's important to honor those who came before. And so again, those of us who don't learn from history are doomed to repeat it. And we are going to make sure that does not happen. Whose land are we standing on? Whose blood soaks the land that we are standing on? Also, it's the Maximum Fun Drive, and ooh, do we have a brand new, never before heard call from another celebrity who called in, who also wants to become a member. This is just new for you, fresh off the presses. They just called, and we just happened to record the conversation. I was going to say, we did just Linda Trippett, but she's passed away, so it feels not okay making that joke anymore. Anyways, brand new call. Who could it be? All right, let's jump into it. It's your Minority Corner Rewind, digging in deep the history of the slaughtering of Mexican Americans by the Texas Rangers. Get ready to learn, laugh, and play. Let's go.
Corner.
She's here, she's busting it up. Watch out, cops, she's busting it up. Huh.
It is, yes.
That's also part of your theme song?
I like that, that's good. Except I don't know about Watch Out, Cops.
Okay.
I'd like to...
That's not all you do. Watch out, people, she's busting it up.
There we go.
Because that way you don't want your show to get stale.
It's true.
Like, you got the books, you got the looks. You busting it up.
I got the books, I got the
you
looks.
You busting it up. People, watch out.
Busting it.
Is she busting it up? All right.
I'm coming
She's
through.
She's coming through.
Okay, so I got a lot to
I'm
cover.
Coming through. Oh.
I'm going to try and squeeze
All
this
right,
in.
All right, let's do okay? it. Roll up my sleeves.
So I got this. So Corner Kid Ryan C. has a direct line, has a Pope line to my phone.
He does. Put on your white hat. Although I don't know if they're wearing white hats these days.
And
but yes.
He sent me this article.
Oh.
And I was really swayed by it. It was written last year in Latina Magazine by Cindy Casares. And it is extremely relevant now because Trump is actually trying to spend $21 billion to build that border. So we need to know where some of this border fucking paranoia stems from.
Yes, absolutely.
So I'm going to talk about this incident between 1915 and 1919. Texas, there was the murder of hundreds, I would say even thousands of Mexican-Americans. By civilians and the Texas Rangers.
What? And you're saying, and these are Mexican Americans. Like, I'm not saying it'd be okay if they were just Mexicans, but they were fucking Americans.
Yes.
Murdered by Texas Rangers. Just making sure that I got that.
Okay, wow. So how did this start? So in the first decade of the 20th century, large numbers of white American farmers from the Midwest began to make their way to South Texas. Okay. So South Texas, there is a remote region that had remained an enclave to Mexican Americans. So it was basically this little area where Mexican Americans were living, and it was chill, peaceful. The Mexican families who became American citizens in the late 1800s at the end of the Mexican-American War.
Okay.
So the people living there were of Mexican heritage, but they were American citizens because they became citizens at the end of the Mexican-American War. I just wanted to clarify that.
That's like Eva Longoria said. She's like, you know, the border, we didn't cross the border. The border crossed over us.
Yes.
Like her family was a part of that.
Exactly. So we're talking about the Longorias right now.
Specifically them.
Who survived, thank God.
Thank God, yes.
Okay, so after the war, new infrastructure started popping up because we're like, this is America now, so we're going to build roads and railways. So because of that, white people started being like, oh shit, new land, gonna come to it. So they started coming down to the area. And like all gentrification, this is like early gentrification.
This is early hipsters.
Land prices started to go up.
Of course.
And then the increasing rates of many, Mexican-American ranchers, they weren't able to afford the rising property taxes. So, you know, if land prices go up, taxes go up. So even if you own land on that area,
it doesn't matter if you can't afford.
If things are going up in price, your taxes are going up in price, which therefore displaces you.
Which hella sucks because you're like, I was already living here when this was Mexico, and then it became America, and then y'all came over here because it was really cool.
And now I'm displaced.
And now I can't afford to live here. That is bullshit. Early gentrification.
But even worse than regular, like now gentrification.
Yeah.
White farmers, they were some shady asses, and they started to strip land from Mexican Americans. They were laying claim to it. So laying claim, they would be like, oh, you can't afford that? Let me take that for you. Let me buy you out. Or they would just steal it.
Shady farmers. Shady ass farmers. Like, so, what, they just put, like, a flag down, and they're like, you don't have a flag, like, in the words of Eddie Izzard.
Yeah, so title changes and theft basically led to 187,000 acres of Mexican-American land being taken away from them. So this is the climate.
Okay.
And this was between 1900 to 1910. So 10 years slowly of 187,000 acres moving from Mexican-American hands into new white farmer hands in shady ways, being priced out, being moved out, being stolen.
As if they're just like entitled to this. Yeah.
And this was in the lower Rio Grande area.
Awful.
Okay, so while that's going on in America, across the border in Mexico, they were in the middle of a revolution, okay? So working class peasants fought to overturn the corrupt old orders of Mexico.
Okay.
They were, in turn, the old order was robbing them of their land. So these Mexican peasants were basically, like, getting booted from their land as well. And so they were being pushed into America from Mexico.
Right.
And many of them found themselves in South Texas. So these Mexican peasants who were basically Mexican revolutionaries were in now Texas, and they were like, fuck this shit. This is happening here too. God damn it.
It's like everywhere
they
turn. So they
were like, we need help from Mexican Americans, African Americans, Native Americans, and Japanese Americans.
Rally up.
We are going to start a cultural uprising.
Wow.
And they formed together to, so they kind of formed a small group that wanted to overthrow white elites with a cultural revolution that had displaced all of them.
That is amazing. What was the year? Can I ask?
This is around 1915.
Listen up. This ain't nothing new we're experiencing, folks. You know what? Mm-hmm. This is the shit that gets left out of history books because they don't want you to remember this. That we
exactly.
We've been fighting for all this equality shit beforehand. Early 1900s. Hello? This is a huge part of our history.
This is mirroring exactly what's happening right now.
Let's see.
Okay.
Who writes them history books?
So, January 24th, 1915, the U.S. government finds out about this cultural uprising through a document called the Plan de San Diego.
Uh-oh.
Okay. Right. So, the U.S. government is like, oh, shit, there's going to be a cultural uprising. What do we need to do? Mm-hmm. Well, first, we got to secure this motherfucking border. Uh-huh. So, they go to secure the border. They don't have a lot of technology in 1915. So, they're like, we need boots on the ground. And they get the U.S. Cavalry to go down there and the Texas Rangers. So Texas increased the number of their Rangers in the force from 73 to 130.
Whoa.
In just a matter of months. So by Whoa. Doing that, of course, all these new Rangers are not trained properly.
I was gonna say, I doubt how thorough was that training in just that amount of months. They just have like exactly. guns and a badge.
Yeah.
Who probably are like, you know, fuck the Mexicans, have like a vendetta like passed down from
right
because they're trying to get this land which they think is theirs
exactly so but nobody they remembers history. Are set out so basically the cultural uprising that this Plan de San Diego had outlined that the U.S. government got mm-hmm. never actually happened.
Oh.
There were a few Mexican insurgent raids that did happen that resulted in 21 American deaths. So this was the spark.
Okay.
But including in the 21 deaths were many Mexican Americans. So it's a mess, all right?
Yeah.
Okay, so the Texas Rangers were like, we need to fucking retaliate.
Fuck you,
Walker. And remember, these Texas Rangers are not trained.
Oh, right, yes. They're not trained. They just got a gun and a badge, and they're like, I'm ready to go.
Yes, and they were ordered basically to protect the border to make sure no Mexicans came in and to, you know, stop Mexican revolutionaries. Well, these Texas Rangers were racist and they didn't give a fuck if you're a Mexican or Mexican American.
Of course, right.
Okay. So because of that, many Americans agreed, or many historians agreed, that at least 300 people were killed, but it's probably more like 5,000 Mexican Americans were murdered and killed during this time period.
My God. This atrocity. Because if they were just to see someone that was brown skin,
yeah,
not even tried to, like, detain, it was just, like, shoot to kill. And, like, why?
They would, so basically what they did during this time, they would, they would kill women, children, young people, old people, neighbors, strangers would just capture anybody who looked Mexican. They would humiliate and torture them. They would leave these bodies just out to rot. They would burn the bodies. It was horrendous. It got to a point where people in the history, like, writings have said that, like, the dead Mexican bodies on the street were just, like, whatever.
This is barbaric. The fact that this took place in, like, the last, like, century, you're not talking about, like, 4000 BC or even, like...
No! Like, this is fucking 1915. 1915 to 1919, this was happening. 4 fucking years.
The Titanic had, like, set sail and sank exactly. around now. This is modern-ish times.
This is, like, a great-grandparent's history.
It's just ridiculous. Like, yeah, someone's grandparents is all up involved in this. And also just, like, on one end, fighting World War I on one side and then doing this shit in our own fucking country.
Exactly. Exactly. So, okay. While this was happening, we do have to give credit to some of the white Texans that tried to help.
Thank you, white Texans.
This one guy's name was Thomas Hook. He was an attorney in Kingsville.
Thank you,
and
Thomas.
He helped a group of Mexican Americans send a telegram to President Racist Woodrow Wilson for a federal investigation and protection of their rights.
Good.
Unfortunately, Hook was pistol whipped by the Texas Ranger Captain J.J. Sanders.
Are you fucking kidding me? A fucking pistol whip?
Right.
Like, what? Really? That's not even you doing your job. That's just you being a dick. That's just you being an asshole. A totalitarian military asshole.
Exactly! Like, what the fuck? And this was allowed to happen? So, how did this end?
Yes. Okay. Like, what is the resolution here?
Ugh. So, State Representative Jose Tomas Canales, who was the only Mexican-American in the Texas legislature in 1990, and the only way that he got that was because it was a holdout from before the ranchers came and displaced all of these Mexican-American families. So basically, him being in Texas legislature was like a reminder of, wait a minute, y'all stole our land like hella recently, because I was voted into this position.
We were already here.
He filed 19 charges against Texas Rangers and demanded a legislative investigation and reorganizing of the force. Mm. And then, believe it or not, the fucking legislation, they complied.
Oh, wow. Plot twist. Yeah.
So they were able to come to a conclusion through witness testimonies, and the Ranger force was slashed in half. Oh, so they were like, get these motherfuckers out of here. Yeah. And they got rid of this, like, they called them the Texas Legacy Rangers, and those were the ones that were tasked to fucking hunt down the Mexicans.
That sounds hella racist. I know. When you say that phrase, like, a shiver went down fucking my legacy? Spine. Like, it sounds hella racist. Sounds like the Brotherhood of Races with guns. The Ku Klux Cousins with guns. So
they got rid of that. Thank God.
Bye.
And then finally, the fucking terror subsided. But can you imagine growing up in that environment and how that could color things? Like, no wonder people are racist. No wonder there's that fear there. Because this was planted in there by people being fucking... land getting stolen, people getting upset about it, and then it explodes into the death of 5,000 people just dead
on
the street.
It doesn't make any sense to me because, like, I can't wrap my head around, at least in some way today, there's a little bit more, it's like less cowboying. People are at least like detained, I guess. I'm not saying it's a good thing, but then it was just like, if you see them, just shoot them. Whereas today...
Right, like we're not going to... I hope to hell not, and I don't know what to expect, but no one is going... I hope no one would lynch anybody now. You know what I mean? Like...
Right. But it's like, these are stories that I think that I'm so glad that you brought all this stuff up, because it's stories that we don't hear about. The only history that we hear about is a bunch of white people, and then we hear about Martin Luther King and some civil rights stuff. And
Rosa Parks.
Call it a day. That's it. And then a lot of white history... Latino history, this is a part of American history. This is a part of...
That's American history!
...what makes up America, the good, the bad, and the ugly of our history. And so it's so frustrating that it's like, I'm 31 years old, and it's the first time I'm hearing about any of this.
Right! And, like, and the fact that there's TV shows that are, like, so excited about Texas Rangers and how wonderful Texas Rangers are, and, like... I don't want to celebrate Texas Rangers now. Like, they have a complicated, crazy past that they hid from us.
Now, I know you're not going against Chuck Norris, because he will come after you, Aneke. He will karate chop you.
Handle That's Chuck Norris.
One Texas Ranger I'm not going to fuck with. That's I don't fuck with Chuck Norris.
Oh, my God. That Texas Ranger, I don't know. Okay, I won't come for Chuck Norris because I don't trust him.
I'm just kidding. You know what? Come for me, Chuck Norris. Come for me. I got you. got you, pal, Chuck Norris. You know, I'm on the fence.
I think he's conservative.
I just don't know where he's coming from. I don't know his politics. Tweet at us. Let us know, Chuck Norris. Chuck Norris, let us know. Because I don't understand what that show is about.
It makes no sense.
Like,
I don't understand Texas Rangers. Are they police? Like, what is going on?
What was that show? That's why, like, you know, I'm questioning him, because he did sign up for a show called Walker Texas Ranger, where he just
kicks around. I never watched Walker Texas Ranger. That was not on my list.
And it's just like, it's literally just like white male fantasy, because it's like cowboys and karate and them going around finding the bad guys. I don't even know what that show was about. Was it about immigrants? Was it him kicking immigrants? I can't. This you know what? This also reminds me about what I learned about in college. And right after World War II, and maybe we'll dive deeper into this into another episode, but back in World War II in the U.S., the U.S. government created a deal between the U.S. and Mexico that Mexico is going to send over workers to work on our farms.
Cheap labor.
Yes. And it was like a deal
that
was only supposed to last for like at least a decade or so. I don't know the full, I don't remember the full details.
Oh, fascinating.
So then what it did is it created a dependency.
I need to look into this. I need to look into this. America
for this, again, cheap labor.
Yeah.
Right? And also it made the Mexican economy dependent upon this income coming in from the U.S. and these workers. And they had like shitty housing accommodations and these farmers. Learned about it in college. So again, we've created this situation.
We started this shit.
The U.S. has created this situation.
God.
So it's really, incredibly frustrating.
I just wish, and the reason that I bring this up, and I'm still proud to be an American, and I'm an American, and we live here, this is our country, but I think, just like how I always say we gotta side-eye everything, we gotta side-eye our own country, and we need to accept that we have a very checkered path. Like,
yes, we do.
Like, shit is not good. Like, America is not always the beautiful. That, like, we are damn nasty, ugly sometimes.
A lot of times.
And if we acknowledge it, we can move on from it, and we can stop repeating this shit.
Yeah.
Like, if we learned this in class, maybe somebody right now who is totally about building the wall would be like, wait a minute.
Hold up. Oh, that's how this comes to you? Ooh. Oh, that border? Cross over these people? And then these people were, like, slaughtered and killed? Oh, for being there. Got it. Okay. Hey, Dad, guess what? Let's not build the wall. I just learned about this in school. It's actually really fucked up. We already tried this before, and it was really fucked up.
Right.
And you know what? Fuck farmers. Like, some of y'all are good, but I am just, I'm not feeling it. I'm not.
I can't say that. I like farmers I like to eat produce.
But you know what?
I like to eat produce.
We give farmers just way too much. Way too much. We switch our clocks for them, Aneke. There's no reason to do that anymore. Because, you know, you can set your fucking alarm and you would be fine, Farmer Joe, Farmer Brown. Set your damn clock.
I am not signing on to your petition for hate against farmers.
And some of these California farmers.
Well, those farmers came over after World War II,
gave them shitty housing and paid them like nothing.
That's true. That's so bootsy as hell. That's bullshit.
Shady ass, bootsy ass farmers. And also, I just found out recently from the Samantha Bee Show that, like, that they're trying to go after all these us sanctuary cities to try to like cut our funding. But there's something like 85% of the country's economy comes from these sanctuary cities.
Really?
So we like subsidize.
We're giving y'all money.
So you all need to calm it down, farmers.
Calm down, take our money, let us be a sanctuary and stop being racist.
Because if it wasn't for all these people coming over here to these sanctuary cities and making this money and stimulating our economy, we wouldn't have money to give to you all, Farmer Joe, Farmer
Brown. Let's try and not be so afraid of everything, too. That is like some bullshit that I need to...
Goes back to step one. Go to therapy. Farmers?
Yes.
You know what? This is what I support. I support this movement.
Okay.
My tax dollar is going to funding therapy for farmers.
That's not... Because... Hey, you know what? Farmer Joe needs someone to talk to. It's lonely out there.
Which apparently, because he's lonely and all he has to do is talk to his corn, which there's too much of. So stop making the goddamn corn, Farmer Brown.
I did not know.
It's too much
you
of it.
This
you were ruining
much
the environment.
Energy towards.
I have venom for farmers. Just say it. I have venom. I have venom for farmers. I am not afraid. I am not a fan. Not a fan of your past. Not a fan of your work.
I mean, what they want. I like food.
Farmers and Wall Street. That's what it comes down to. Farmers and Wall Street.
And
just
we're gonna
get their
pick
of the world.
I think
pick of their country.
That's a good place to end.
I'm watching you, Farmer Joe and Farmer Brown. This city boy has eyes on you.
Hello, Maximum Fun Drive. This is James from Minority Corner.
Beyonce, is that you?
Oh, no.
I'm ready. Ready to get on a plane. I'm ready to just jump on a plane and join back Destiny's Child. I heard that you're looking for old members. It's Latavia.
Oh, Latavia from Destiny's Child.
The first one.
The first one. You're not the one that went to prison. Oh, that was Farrah.
No.
Okay.
No, I'm gentle. I'm nice. I was in Girls Time.
Oh.
I've been around since Kelly, but Kelly just gets all the magic and all the fun, and then this Michelle comes in. She can't dance,
and here I am.
I used to rap.
Oh, Latavia, this is not a therapy line. This is the Maximum Fun Drive. I don't know how you got our number, but we're excited that you called. I
Okay.
Do you have a moment? I'd actually like to see if you would like to become a member.
You know, I got some coins because I'd be singing some songs on the... I got a couple jingles for, you know, Mr. Bojangles out there, the Chicken Shack. They like my jingles.
Girl, I'm glad you are still working.
I'm working on the side.
Since you do have some income, I want to see if you... You listen to podcasts, right?
Yeah, I like it.
Okay. Well, this is Maximum Fun.
Hi, Maximum Fun.
Lovely.
Do you like girl groups?
We do love girl groups. Let's talk about Destiny's Child.
What about women groups? Because, you know, I'm a little bit advanced in the age now. I'm no longer a girl.
We're no longer, not a girl, not yet a woman.
I mean, I am a woman.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you know what you are.
Okay.
So we're having the Maximum Fun Drive right now. And it's a celebration of all things Maximum Fun.
All right.
And since you're not already a member of Maximum Fun, I want to get you to become a member.
I like being members of groups.
Okay. And did you ever listen to a podcast called Minority Corner?
Oh,
my God. Latavia.
Okay.
We just bring out the Southern Belle out of you. Well,
I am a Texan.
Well, we can't do this show without you. This show, you know, hosted by myself, and we have guest
co-hosts. Who are you?
My name is James.
Oh, okay. Hi, James.
And we have guest co-hosts that come in, and we talk about all kinds of things. We can't do the show without you.
Okay. Well, how do I spend my coins?
Okay. Well, girl, it is so easy. Mm. So there's all kinds of different membership levels. You can join at the $5 level, the $10 level, the $15 level.
Okay.
And you get all kinds of great goodies.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. You get all kinds. Okay. Okay. Because you...
See, I still got it.
Yes.
I want to be a member.
And you be paying your bills. You be paying your telephone bills.
Sensitive.
Paying your membership
sensitive
bills.
Sensitive sore spot.
Got it. Okay. So, well, here's a great thing. So there's all kinds of different levels for you.
Okay, what's the first
one? Let's go through, because I feel like you're interested in becoming a member.
Yes.
So at the $5 level, you get exclusive members-only bonus content.
Like matching outfits with rhinestones.
Except not designed by Tina Knowles.
Good.
Sore spot. I got it. So you're going to get the bonus. There's a Minority Corner bonus episode. All the other Maximum Fun podcasts all did bonus episodes, bonus content.
Okay.
The Minority Corner one is so great.
Ooh.
Aneke, she comes back.
Who that? Well, that name sounds beautiful.
She one of the original founders of Minority Corner.
I love original founders and members of groups.
You and her get along very well.
Okay. She sounds delightful.
She is. Well, we talk about The Watchmen and W. Allen and Felicia Rashad's Old School Music video.
I like to copy some of those dance moves that they do.
I thought I saw you doing it.
A little two-step here, two-step there.
So you get over 200 hours of bonus episodes only available to you as a monthly member.
Okay,
singing it, girl.
It's the membership.
But
I'm ready.
I feel like, you know, you be paying them bills, so I think you can kick it up a notch.
Mr. Bojangles be paying my money.
Okay.
Jingles.
I'm going to upgrade
jangles,
you.
Jingles.
I'm going to upgrade you, girl, to the $10.
Sensitive.
Okay, sorry. I'm going to upgrade you to the $10 level, where you get a Maximum Fun Drive exclusive enamel pen designed by Megan Lincott.
Oh, she's good.
Yeah, you've seen some of her stuff.
I have.
She designed brand new pins for every Maximum Fun show, and you can see all the designs by going to MaximumFun.org/join. And the Minority Corner one.
Yeah, what's that pin?
It says, because together we're the majority.
Oh, I like that. Because of membership togetherness, groups.
Mm-hmm. Groups, yeah.
Like
and Minority
groups.
Corner is for all the groups coming together.
Okay.
Because if we come together,
girl
we are
groups,
united.
Boy groups, men groups, women groups, non-binary groups.
All the groups.
Groups.
So there's also the $20 level where you're going to get not only everything I've mentioned before.
Ooh, combo.
You get, and speaking of combos, at $20 level, you get a game pack.
Okay. What type of games? It's playing games with my heart.
That's Backstreet
Beyonce.
Boys.
Beyonce.
Oh, well, we'll deliver this message to her.
Good.
Last year, she became a member.
Okay, well, I'm going to donate more than she donated because I have coins.
Members on the wall. So you get the game pack. It's a fully custom deck of Maximum Fun inspired high quality playing cards.
All right. When I'm in my tour bus, I need playing cards because I have a tour bus.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure you do. For all the jingle tour circuits.
The jangle jingles. Yes.
So every face card is unique and podcasty, and there's hidden Maximum Fun symbolisms all over.
Fun.
And there's also the $35 level and the $50 level and the $100 and $200 level, and you can find out more about those. I will say the $35 level, you get a Maximum Fun Rocket logo camp mug.
Okay, I think I might do that one.
Oh, you want to do the 35
with those sprinkles?
Level?
It's like blue with the white sprinkles on
You're
it.
Calling it, yes.
Okay. I know that style.
Okay, so we're gonna get you in at that level. It's gonna be so easy.
Okay.
So you can just right now. Do you have a smartphone?
Yes.
Okay, good. I wasn't sure.
It's Samsung. Is that okay?
That's totally fine, girl.
I'll be leaving you read on green.
Girl, I'm glad you just got a phone.
I got coins.
Okay,
my Bojangle Jingles be paying me.
Girl, you don't have to prove anything to Maximum Fun. We love you. We won't say anything bad about you on Minority Corner.
Thank
again.
You. I promise. All right. I'm here.
So it's so
Latavia. Yes.
All right, here's what you're gonna do. So you're going to go to maximumfun.org/join.
Okay.
And then you're going to select, you said you want to be at the $35 level.
Yes.
So you're going to select that.
Okay.
And then you're going to select the shows that you listen to and want to support.
Only Minority Corner.
Bam. That's wonderful. We'll take it. If you had other shows that you wanted to select, you could have done that as well.
Sure.
And your membership contribution is going to go ongoing. It will process automatically every month. So you don't have to do anything.
I don't got to think about it.
Unless your card expires.
It won't.
Or you decide to cancel.
Okay.
I hope you won't.
I won't.
Okay, just check it there, okay? Latavia, you are an angel. You are a saint.
I know Jangles Chicken.
Well, we're not necessarily supporting Bojangles Chicken, but thank you. And we're just so thankful that you're able to help us keep being fabulous here on Minority Corner. I hope you get in touch with Beyonce. I'm glad that you accidentally called us.
I'm glad that I accidentally called you, too. Thank you so much for helping me, James.
All right, Latavia.
Latavia out.
The great social justice changes in our country have happened when people came together, organized, and took direct action. It is this right that sustains and nurtures our democracy today. The civil rights movement, the labor movement, the women's movement, and the equality movement for our LGBT brothers and sisters are all manifestations of these rights. Our quote of the week comes from Dolores Huerta, who also gave us our tagline, because together we're the majority. It seems so fitting that, of course, that's what she would say. And there you have it. I don't normally do fact checks on the Minority Corner Rewind, but I just re-listening to this, a few different things. One, I couldn't name that program that was the contract between Mexico and the United States that happened shortly after World War II and created this dependency. I mean, America's always had a dependency on free or really close to it, cheap-ass labor. But the program I was talking about was the Bracero program. I couldn't name it in this episode because it was just off the cuff. But yeah, so the Bracero program, I do circle back to that on a later episode. Maybe that'll pop up as a Minority Corner Rewind, or maybe you'll just jump on into it yourself because you're just, that's what y'all do. You love to learn, you love to laugh, you love to play, digging into the archives. I want to say it's episode 73, but I might be wrong. It's definitely in the 70s. Fact checking, Chuck Norris. I knew I couldn't put my finger on it, but I Googled Chuck Norris's politics, and let's just say, fuck that guy. We'll just leave it at that. Fuck him. And also, I like to correct something. I, listening to it, was clutching my pearls, listening to all the anger I had towards farmers. I don't know where that came from. Maybe daylight savings had just happened. I was upset about having to change my clock. I don't know. But I don't hate farmers. I don't. I think there was a lot of articles at the time coming about how like farmers were heavily going towards Trump. But really, if you look at it and the numbers, there's a vast number of white farmers and a vast amount of white people voted for Trump. So I guess that tracks. And the media pays a lot of attention to, you know, they are paying a lot of attention to white Trump voters. Anyways, I don't hate farmers. I don't hate them so much. In fact, I'm actually going to be, I'm knee deep researching on the history of black farming and sharecropping. So that to look forward to soon. Let's get into the review of the week. We love it when you leave us reviews. It helps people to find the show. And it just also is great to hear the lovely feedback from you all, what you're enjoying. We are here for you. So this one comes from Dreamweaver Cat. And they said, this podcast is so fantastic. It's open, honest, geeky, educational, and so lovely in so many ways. A wonderful combination of history, current events, pop culture, and so much more. Delivered with insight and a lot of heart. highlighting a lot of truths I had no idea about and giving me tangible action that I can take in my community. Highly recommend. Thank you for that review. You too can leave a review. If you feel inspired by that, we'd love to hear from you. And our tweet of the week comes from at whatever cove. They wrote, this is their tweet. They said, this queer Chickasaw was super excited to turn on at Minority Corner, my favorite companion when cooking dinner and hearing conversation about the Magritte ruling. I can always trust this show to tackle the complicated topics with sincerity, hilarity, and nuance-arity. That was a great tweet. That one gave me all the warm feels. There was something about that. Like, I feel like I felt you feeling seen. And I just know what that feeling and that experience is. And I've been meaning to dive into that story. It's such an important one, especially anything about, you know, as we're talking about here, like the blood that has been spilt on this country. Whose country is this really? And it's important to look at that and make sure that everyone's stories are being told. So, and just we hear what the ruling of that, you know, Magritte v. Oklahoma case was, but I don't think we all fully understood the historical context and what that all really meant. And again, the work that is still to be done. Oh, wow. Also noticing a theme of Beyonce Destiny's Child people calling in. So I wonder who will be our caller for next week. Definitely a theme. If you would like to be like, you know, Beyonce has become a member, Jennifer Hudson, who's not part of Destiny's Child, but she was a dream girl with Beyonce, also a member. And now, who was it? Latoya? Oh, wait, no, Latavia. Latavia, also a member. Oh, speaking of Latoya, remember last week, Maury and I went in deep about Say My Name? Well, here's some of the texts that Maury had sent me that spawned this whole entire conversation, a deep dive into Say My Name, because this is what you came here for. So Latoya Luckett and Latavia Robertson, who were kicked out of the group, as you recall, and they found out by the Say My Name video, said they did not know they were out of the group until seeing Say My Name in March 2000. And they had filed a lawsuit against Papa Knowles. And I guess conflict had risen from the members back in 1989 following allegations that the group's manager, Papa Knowles, was withholding the group's profits from Latoya and Latavia. And they essentially asked him, they were like, hey, where's our money? And then they were dismissed from the group in January 2000. That is some shady shit. And that was the same month that Papa Knowles got Farrah and Michelle Williams into the group. The girls had no idea. How messed up is that? So I guess Latoya had a solo career. No one really knows. But she had a song that topped the top. It was topped the US Billboard 200 charts. She had a single called Torn that achieved records on BET's Top 10 Countdown show 106 in Park. And she was named one of the best new artists of 2006. So 2006 was the year of Latoya. Oh, that was by AOL. Don't laugh. And she got the top songwriter of 2006 by the ASCAP. You know, that very famous award. I feel like she made that up. I mean, anybody could write their own Wikipedia page. But I guess Latoya Luckett released a second solo album called Lady Love on August 25th, 2009, which debuted at number one on the U.S. top R&B and hip-hop albums chart. Wow, I had no idea. I missed out on her solo career. Did y'all know? Man. And she also had a number 12 on the U.S. Billboard charts. Wow. And then Latoya went on to become an actress. She was in the movie The Preacher's Kid. Didn't see it. She's part of the feature film Killers and From the Rough. Didn't see it. And had a recurring role in the second season of the HBO TV series Tremé. That show was, I heard, really good. Didn't see it. But it was from the people that did The Wire. And she was on the third season of VH1 TV series Single Ladies, which is funny because Beyonce had a song called Single Ladies, and then she was on that show about it. And then I guess she was also on OWN's Greenleaf, which I hear good things about. And I guess going back to 1989, the girls were like, Latoya and Latavia had wanted their own manager because they were like, hey, Daddy Knowles is not repping us. And they didn't want to fire him, but they just wanted to secure outside management to also represent them. That is messy. Oh, and here's the other tea. We're just going in deep here. Deeper than you ever wanted to go. So shortly after the release of Survivor, LaToya and LaTavia, they filed another lawsuit in March 2000 because they claimed that Survivor violated their previous settlement due to its lyrics. You know, the lyrics are like going off on them, which is fair. Because that song was not about a breakup. It was clearly about the other two girls that you kicked out of the group. And then LaToya and LaTavia tried to form their own group, but nothing happened of it. It was called Angel. I remember them like on MTV being like, don't worry, we're coming back. We're going to have our own group and we're going to be here. Never happened. And I guess LaTavia, who called in, LaTavia did a bunch of stage plays that nobody's really heard of. She was a part of R&B Divas Atlanta, which had singers Angie Stone, Kiki Wyatt, and one of the girls from 702. But yeah, they were suing because of Survivor. They believe that the lyrics had referenced the split that happened with lyrics that thought I couldn't sell without you, sold 9 million. Yeah, who was that about? Clearly these two girls. But I guess they settled out of a lawsuit outside of it. Get your coins, girl. Oh, and I have to check this out. I've been wanting to check this out. In 2007, LaTavia and other members of Destiny's Child and Farrah, who ended up in prison, appeared on the TV series Boulevard of Broken Dreams, telling their side of the story of what happened. I know what I'm doing. As soon as we're done recording this. All right. Well, there you have it. Big thanks to Maury for going down that rabbit hole and texting me all about it. That's more information just to round out all of the information and the drama behind Destiny's Child and Say My Name. I think it's only fitting since they keep calling in and becoming members. We really should just call this Destiny's Child Corner. But then what would end up happening is they just start replacing members of this group. I guess that's kind of already happening. Well, anyways, that's the show. Aneke will be back here. One of the original OGs, Minority Corner, will be back here on Friday. It's going to be great and fabulous. Oh, last thing, if you would like to, if you're not doing anything on Saturdays at 2 p.m. Pacific time and have been like, man, I really want to dance. Well, do I have the thing for you? Every Saturdays at 2 p.m., join me on the Zooms. I teach a dance class and a new routine every month, learning iconic choreography from the dances you love. And this month we are doing Pussycat Dolls React. It's going to be hot. It's going to be sexy. It's going to be amazing. I'm going to teach you all the moves. It'll be fun. Classes are free. Donations and tips are welcomed. It's going to be a good time. You're going to dance in your living room, unleash your inner pop star, and you get to hang out with me from 2 to 3:30. It'll be super fun. Link for the class. You have to sign up through the registration form. That'll be linked in the show notes. So I hope to see you there. And have a great, wonderful week. We'll catch you on Friday or whenever you listen. I love you all so much. Thank you for listening to Minority Corner, because together we're the majority.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.